The following is an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League. Winning sure makes the work week enjoyable. Now the Panthers are looking for two in a row. The Panthers' offense is finding its stride, but it's still not at full speed. Total access to your team.
We gave ourselves the opportunity to win, and you took advantage of it.
Fans, enjoy the win. You deserve it. This is the Carolina Panthers Television Network, and you've stepped into the huddle. The Panthers Huddle with Ron Rivera.
It's week 13 of the NFL season, and the Carolina Panthers are all Willie Nelsoned up. On the road again, looking for back-to-back wins for the first time this year. The defense is dealing with another major loss with a season-ending elbow injury to defensive tackle Ron Edwards. The offense took a hit as well. Jonathan Stewart sidelined with the dreaded high ankle sprain. But for Cam Newton and his teammates, there's just one thing to do. Only one thing that can be done. Press on, move forward, and try to beat Kansas City.
Yeah, we got the win, which is very big for us as a whole. And, but we still have to be better offensively, with myself, with better footballs and, throwing the ball with more accuracy, being more consistent. And, the challenge is still out there.
Hello and welcome into the Panthers Huddle. My name is Mick Mixon. With me, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Ron Rivera. Coach, congratulations. What a great feeling it was to win on Monday Night Football. Winning cures a lot of things. How's your team responded now to the good feelings of winning and their preparations this week?
Well, it's great, Mick. You know, the nice thing about obviously winning is it does take a lot of pressure off. But, it's a short week. We had to go back to work right away. So we got a chance to enjoy it for a little bit, but we enjoyed it nonetheless. And practice has been really good this week. So I'm excited about our opportunities coming up this Sunday.
Let's take our first look, Coach, at the Kansas City Chiefs. A team like the Panthers in some ways, maybe they've lost some close football games. Do you see some parallels there?
I do, because they've got some good talent. They really do. And you look at their offensive side of the ball, they run it extremely well. And you watch them on the defense side, they're very active like our guys. They create and make things happen. And the special teams, they have an opportunity to be disruptive. So they are very similar. They've had some bad luck like we have at times. But our situations are very similar and different in some ways. And it'll be interesting to see how we match up with them on Sunday.
The week's better, when you win, everything's better. But the win was, a couple of days ago. Now we got to move forward. It's one of those things, you got to have a short memory if you win. You got to have a short memory when you lose, too. So we got to build on what we did well, and then we got to improve. We allowed them to run the ball quite a bit. So that's when things move forward, is we got to, look what we didn't do well and then, move on from there.
Well, you start feeling better. Your body doesn't hurt as bad. The coaches are happier with you. Everything's better. So hopefully the guys know what it felt like on Monday and can bottle that and do it again next week.
When the huddle returns, Cam Newton and the Panthers offense are starting to find their groove. Coach and Eugene are ready to break it down. But next, behind closed doors, you'll have total access to your team following the win in Philly.
We came back and we made some plays. We made plays when we had to. That's the most important thing. We made plays when we had to.
This exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers Television Network is brought to you in part by Bank of America. Panthers checking, only from Bank of America.
It wasn't pretty, but it was a win. It feels great. It really does. A lot of good things. We faced some adversity. We came back and we made some plays. We made plays when we had to. That's the most important thing. We made plays when we had to. We gave ourselves the opportunity to win, and you took advantage of it.
Hey, it's a team game right here. There's no locker room I'd rather be in than with you guys right here, man. Hey. Great job. Proud of you guys. I love you guys. Let's take it from here and win the next one. Now, let's go. Hey.
Well, welcome back to the Panthers. Hold on, I'm Eugene Robinson with Coach. Great win last Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach, I love this play because this play stinks of it's going to be a run. I got my guys in the backfield. Look at that. That says run. this defense should be setting up for a run, but that's not the case.
No, the key really is we did come out with 22 personnel, two tight ends, two running backs, and what we did is, based on the formation, you do have a run look, but we're going to go play action. Why? Because Cam knows he's got single high. And whenever you have a single high, that means you've got 8 men in the box minimum, yes, to play the run. Great play call here by Chud. And what we're going to get out of this is we're going to get vertical threats. We're going to get a vertical threat from out over here, okay? Then we're going to get a vertical threat from the U tight end and a vertical threat from the Y tight end. And what's going to happen is Cam's going to come out from under center. He's going to look to this side first, which will draw this safety. Once that happens, now Cam's got to decide which of the two tight ends is his primary target.
And what I like about this play, as this continues here, let's put this on slow motion. And coach, if we stop it here, look at the stress that's put on that guy there alone, because there's two people running down the field.
Exactly.
A lot of stress on this guy.
Well, yeah, and also what happens too, though, is, again, as I pointed out earlier, you're going to see the vertical threat here from Brandon LaFell, but also the vision of the quarterback looking this way. What happens now is Cam has pulled this safety out from the middle, which opens it up, and now he gets to choose between one of the two, and it's right down here, the U or the Y receiver, and he's going to pick the Y receiver for the touchdown.
So we said this guy should not come out of his spot. If he comes out of his spot, then we know that he's wrong. He's wrong. Out of his spot, there's no way he can go ahead and make that play. It's in the red zone. There's no way. Once you go ahead and bite on that play fake, you're done as a safety. And, Coach, I like the development of Cam Newton, and we were talking about it. That little pump fake in the red zone, it always fools the safety, and it's almost a gimme.
And, Eugene, every quarterback needs good targets to throw to. For Cam Newton hooking up with Gary Barnidge for the Big Gary first career touchdown catch exemplifies kind of the next man up concept. Now, Gary doesn't see the spotlight much, but he does come to work every single day ready to do his job. Now, the Panthers will need the same result and the same work ethic this week from a defensive lineman, because with big Ron Edwards now on injured reserve, another big body, another run stuffer's got to step up. Our Panthers insider, Mike Kraft, has more on the Carolina defensive tackle.
Win on three. One, two, three, win.
There is no way around it. Replacing Ron Edwards, the Panthers' primary run stuffer, will require a group effort. The 12-year veteran's elbow injury threw a damper on an otherwise exciting win against the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday night. Now his absence will leave a huge hole in the Panthers' defense, literally. When judging the value of Ron Edwards to the Panthers' defense, you can throw away the stat sheet. A run-stuffing nose tackle is not judged on tackles, but more importantly, what he means to those defenders around him.
Big Ron is a big, big part of our defense. You know, anytime you can stuff it up the middle and then have those guys rushing on the edge, you know, the way they've been doing all year, it's good. It makes it a little easier for us.
You know, he was solid, man. Yeah. Stopped the run. Talk a lot of pressure on the inside. You know, you can be on the edge and rush, you know, not have to worry about inside moves, not have to worry about coming back and retracing the draws fast because he's that support in the middle. So it's going to be a rough loss.
DeJuan Edwards may be called on to do a lot of the heavy lifting. To this point in the season, he has not only shown the ability to hold up at the point of attack, but to deliver big plays. Through 11 games, the 9-year veteran is on track to eclipse his career high in tackles, and his 5 sacks is nearly double his career totals.
Just coming here to work, you know, we got a great group of guys. I know record doesn't show for it, but, you know, great group of guys that come out here and play for and work for our defensive lines. You know, kind of early in the season may have been looked at as kind of a, you know, a poor part of our team, has kind of developed into a strength, and I take a lot of pride in that and go out and work every day and try to get better.
Not bad for a guy who was shown the door in Buffalo right before the season, something that provided Edwards with just a little more motivation.
You know, you use anything you can for motivation in this league, you know, anything to get through the long days and, you know, being hurt, you know, anything you got to, you know, use, you know, you use it. So definitely, you know, it throws a little fuel on the fire.
There is a trio of other linemen who will be called on to step up as well, including Sione Fua, who continues to make steady progress in his second season. Andre Neblett, who dusted off the rust after serving an early season suspension. And Frank Kearse, fresh off receiving a promotion from the practice squad.
I think for me especially, the game slowed down a lot more. You know, I know what to expect. I know what to see week to week, you know, especially watching the game film, you know, preparing for these teams. You know, you really know how they're going to attack you. You know, they're going to attack your weaknesses. You know, if you're struggling against a certain run, you're going to see that week to week. So just being able to know what to expect and know how they're going to try and block you.
You know, trying to get better, you know, started off slow, you know, with the suspension and everything, but, you know, getting better every day, you know, and just trying to help this team win, you know, and finish up strong. You know.
And you know, coming down the stretch is going to be so important as we get into these later games to play the run.
Yeah, yeah. And I love to play the run. So, you know, that's my type of game. You know, in the trenches, using my hands, getting off blocks and making tackles. So it's going to be great.
This is Mike Kraft for the Panthers Hope.
Buy and sell worry-free with NFL Ticket Exchange at NFL.com. Powered by Ticketmaster. The Panthers Huddle with Ron Rivera continues with the Bojangles Rewind.
Short drop, pumps once, now looking left side, throwing end zone. It is caught for a touchdown to Gary Barnett. A little high, but he's got it. Sets up the throw. Pressure coming backside. Got it. Taken down. It's a sack. Way back at the 7-yard line. Second down and 10. Newton to throw. Oh, wide open receiver over the middle. LaFell caught 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown.
Ooh, how do you
Newton
get
to Brandon LaFell. Yeah. Third and goal for the one. It's going to be Cam Newton. He leaps. Does he get there? Yes. Touchdown.
He did. Mick, he dove in the air and extended the ball out like Superman, and it crossed the plane, and it's a touchdown.
Spins inside the 35 to the 33, fumble the ball, Panthers recover. Luke Kuechly pounced on it right in front of the Philadelphia bench. And it's Brown off a right tackle. Brown breaking tackle, fumble the ball, big pile for it, a scramble, Panther football. So the field goal from 23 yards, Gano has it up and good. Carolina leads 24-22. It's the quarterback draw, Newton off the Tolbert block, touchdown, Carolina Panthers.
There you go. I mean, it was just tailor-made for it. You got everybody spread out. Just go ahead and run a quarterback draw. No harm, no foul.
The Panthers will win this game on the road in Philadelphia, 30-22.
Now, back to Bank of America Stadium and head coach Ron Rivera.
The head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Ron Rivera, remains with us here in the Panthers huddle. Coach, the win in Philadelphia doesn't come without a cost. Unfortunately, Ron Edwards, the big tackle, lost for the rest of the season because of the elbow. What is your plan moving forward to try to fill that void?
Well, you know, it's going to be a tough void to fill because Ron's what we call a space eater. And what he does is he typically takes up two blocks, and it allows Luke Kuechly and the other linebackers to flow very freely. You know, now we're going to have to do it by committee. You know, Sione Foe is going to get the opportunity to start for us. You know, we'll bring in Frank Kirsch, who we reactivated, who's played for us in the past. And then we had Andre Nevitz, another guy that we got to take a look at. And it's going to put a little bit more pressure on DeJuan Edwards. So it'll be interesting to see how our front two, you know, our nose tackle and our three technique, really do step up and try and fill that void because it is a big spot to fill it.
Coach, since you played on Monday night, a lot of the national commentators have an opinion on the continued development, the maturation of your quarterback, Cam Newton. Where do you fall on where he is right now?
I think he's right where he needs to be. He's done a great job the last few weeks, especially. You've seen the maturation in terms of him making decisions, making good decisions, delivering good passes. And, you know, his second half performances have been outstanding. The week before, he was 10 for 11. Last week, he was 10 for 12. So he in the second half. So you really see that what he's done is really taking his game to the next level. And I think it's just a matter of time where we start to see an even more complete quarterback, a guy that really starts to take the bull by the horns and take this team to the next level. But, you know, the thing everybody's got to understand, too, is he's not doing it by himself. He's got a good group of guys in front of him to protect him. The running game is coming along, starting to develop, and Steve Smith and the rest of receivers with Brandon LaFell and Greg Olsen have really stepped up and started making plays.
You're kind of clairvoyant. I was going to mention that exact thing. A quarterback loves to hand the ball off to an elite back. Jonathan Stewart nicked up. What do you think about his status, and do you feel like you have good depth there in case Stu can't go?
Well, we'll see. You know, it looks like right now that Stu might be a game-time decision. But, again, not concerned because of what D'Angelo Williams has done in the past for us, as well as Michael Tolbert. I think those two guys give us a pretty good combination if we don't have Stu available.
Lastly, Coach, staying on the offensive side, Brandon LaFell continuing to play well. Big Gary emerging as a target. Do you like what's happening at the wings with your receiving core?
I do. I like the development of our young receivers. I really do think Brandon LaFell is starting to become one of the better young receivers in this league. He's a good number two on our team, and who knows, in some teams he might even be a number one, but he's really developing a fine receiver. It was good to see Gary Barnes get his first NFL touchdown after five seasons, but he's done a nice job as well, and he's come back from that broken ankle that he suffered last year in training camp, and it's taken a while, but you really start to see the emergence of Gary Barnage.
You're on the prowl with the Carolina Panthers and Pepsi. Pepsi, born in the Carolinas.
Next Sunday, when the Panthers host the Atlanta Falcons here at Bank of America Stadium, we need you, the fans, to be counted on. Game day will be the annual Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots collection drive. You can help the Panthers and the Marine Toys for Tots Foundation deliver the magic of the holiday season to more than 35,000 less fortunate kids across the Carolinas by bringing a new unwrapped toy with you to the game. Last season, Panther fans donated more than 20,000 toys and $11,000, which was the largest collection of any team in the National Football League.
The Panthers Huddle continues with your host, Eugene Robinson.
Welcome back to the Panthers Huddle. The Carolina Panthers have another very good opportunity to get a road win. The Kansas City Chiefs have only one win this season, but much like the Panthers, KC has lost a lot of close ones, including last week's 8-point loss to the Denver Broncos. It's time to go into the enemy camp. The Kansas City Chiefs are in the midst of an 8-game losing streak, and they are desperate to stop this slide. Statistically, the Chiefs are not that different from the Carolina Panthers. The KC offense, led by quarterback Brady Quinn, is ranked 21st overall in the National Football League. The Panthers, 19th. But the Chiefs running back Jamaal Charles is ranked as the 8th best running back in the league, averaging nearly 5 yards a carry. He only has 3 touchdowns on the season and has a fumble 4 times this week. On defense, the Chiefs are ranked 16th overall. The Panthers are 17th. The strength of this KC defense is linebacker Justin Houston, who had 2 sacks and 4 QB pressures last week. Now, cornerback Brandon Flowers also grabbed his 3rd interception of the season at the expense of the great Peyton Manning.
The Chiefs have lost their share of close games. Coach Rivera, they even played the Denver Broncos very tough last week. What do you see as the biggest single challenge the Chiefs present for your Carolina Panthers?
Well, I think it's in the running game. I really do, Mac. I think they run the ball extremely well. I think Jamaal Charles is an elite running back in this league. I believe they're ranked in the top 5 of rushing this season. So that's our biggest challenge.
And, Coach, you're right. Jamaal Charles is an absolute beast. And what you're going to see on the stretch play that Jamaal Charles, when he runs, he gets going to the right-hand side. And look, he's diabolical. He gets up the field extremely fast. But there's a lot more going on in the blocking game that allows for that to go ahead and take place. And what you're going to see as we slow it down, look at it, Coach, they're already in a position where they can get a guy who can hook another guy on the other side.
Yeah, and the biggest thing most certainly you got to look at is how many people they have in the box to play this particular run. And they only have 7 if you count them. There's one here. There's one here. There's one. That adds up to 7. They're outmanned in this box because there's an extra tight end. So the thing that has to happen is they somehow have got to get the safety force down a little bit sooner. They don't. What the quarterback's looking for is as he's getting his initial read, he's looking for how many people are to the tight end. Right now we see there's only one guy to the 2 blockers when there's 2 tight ends. So what will happen is they'll go ahead and they will reach. And they're going to go ahead and seal right here. Okay, they're going to come up and they're going to seal right here. They're going to double and work to here. And Jamaal Charles is going to stretch it and he's going to find either a cutback lane or he'll keep coming outside. And then what will happen is when the safety shows up from the outside coming down here, you're going to see Jamaal go ahead and take it inside.
And Coach, and you're right on this deal. And this, when we break this down in slow motion, you can see very well, look at the double team block that happens. But look at the 2-way guy. This guy has a chance to block. Well, who is it? He has a chance to block. There's nobody to block. And he can hook or he can continue out the front side. This play has written over it. This is going to be a big play.
It should be a big play. And really what happens is one of the tackles actually misses the linebacker, because if he had gotten the linebacker, now what happens is he gets a chance to go up and he could have blocked the force, which meant he could have gone to the safety if this guy would have just sealed this guy. Now what happens is Jamal Charles could have taken this and he could have gone right through this. And again, then he could have gone right up the side of the field. Instead, he cuts it back because the tackle missed the block.
Yeah, and this is just a good run by a running back who sees that gap, gets up the middle of the field, and makes it up. And what we need to do is make sure we contain those edges and force it back into our linebackers.
Exactly right, Eugene, because one of the problems we have had this year was making sure we seal those edges. If we don't seal the edges, the young man's got a chance to run the ball.
Is this the kind of running attack that you'll really miss a Ron Edwards in the interior?
No, because, again, they're trying to stretch the ball outside. What you really want to do is make sure your ends get a chance to set the edges. If not, what will happen is they'll get the ball and they'll bounce it outside. The one that I'm concerned is if they run the inside zone, where the running back now has a chance to work straight downhill, attack your middle linebacker, and then cut off of that guy. That's where you'll miss a Ron Edwards.
We've talked a lot about the Chiefs' offense, and for good reason. What's their defensive identity?
I think their defensive identity is they're aggressive. They've got a good group of guys led by Tom Holley, who's one of the elite sackers in this league. I like their linebackers. I think this is a very active group. And when you watch these guys play, as far as their secondary is concerned, they've been ball hawks in the past. And, again, we don't want to give them opportunities.
Play action, play action, play action, Coach.
No.
Aggressive.
All right. It is going to be a happening. We cannot wait to tell you all about it on the radio side. This is the Panthers' first trip to Arrowhead Stadium since 2004. That game was a 11-point Carolina Panther victory. Maybe history will repeat itself. Kickoff scheduled for 1. Fox Sports will have the TV broadcast, but you know what to do. Join us on the radio side for our call of the game on your local Panthers radio network station. Coach, are you carrying any final keys to the game into Kansas City this week?
I think the big key, more so than anything else, is we've got to be consistent. And by that, I mean when we run the ball, we've got to go ahead and take chunk yards, 4, 5, 6 yards at a time. When we throw the ball, Cam's got to take what they give. He can't always try to throw the ball downfield. This team is very opportunistic, so we've got to be sure what we do offensively. Defensively, contain the run, contain the run, contain the run, then get after the quarterback. And then special teams, we got to make one or maybe 2 big plays on special teams.
Sounds like a good plan, Coach. Good luck getting it done.
Thanks, man.
All right, for Coach Ron Rivera, for Eugene Robinson, for our entire huddle team, thank you for joining us. We appreciate the visit, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week right here inside the Panthers Huddle.
You've been watching the Panthers Huddle, a copyrighted presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the NFL.